blood that Jesus shed for me. Way back on Calvary, the blood that gives me strength from day to day, it will never lose its power. It reaches to the highest mountain. It flows to the lowest valley. Oh yes, it's the blood that gives me strength from day to day. It will never lose its power. It soothes my doubts, it calms my fear, and it dries all my tears. The blood that gives me strength from day to day, it will never lose its power. Way back on Calvary, the blood that gives me strength from day to day, it will never lose its power. It reaches to the highest mountain. It gives me strength from day to day. It will never lose its power. It reaches to the highest mountain. It flows to the blood that gives me strength from day to day. gives me strength. He gives me power. He gives me hope. In the darkest hour, He is my Jesus. He is my friend. He's an Alpha Omega, the beginning and the end.
He gives me strength. He gives me power. He gives me hope.
Oh, yes,
in the darkest hour.
I know that I am, since Jesus took control of my life. I'm blessed, and I know that I am, for He promised me a new life. Oh, I'm blessed, for He walks with me, and He's with me wherever I go. And if you happen to ask, oh, how are you, my friend? I'm blessed. Oh, I'm blessed.
and I know that I am, for he promised me a life. Oh, I'm blessed, for he walks with me, and he's with me wherever I go. And if you happen to ask, oh, how are you, my friend? Oh, I'm blessed, I'm blessed.
Opportunity to be in the house of the Lord with His wonderful people. We are a blessed group of people today. Just to have this opportunity. I've been thinking a lot about that, about where I'm at. You know, having an understanding. If you don't know where you're at, you know, where you've been, you sure aren't going to know where you're going. And then when you get there, you may not know where you are then either. I want to have an opportunity. I have this opportunity to know where I'm at today. I'm in the house of the Lord. And what does that mean? I'm in a place where I can feel the Spirit of the Lord, where we can be dealt with, to come up, to cleanse our life with God, to ask for forgiveness. But thankfully, we have a gift in the knowledge that we know it's not just a ending there, but that's just the beginning. to, and then to receive that wonderful gift of the Holy Ghost, to have that earnest of our inheritance, and then to move even forward from that, and then day by day to get closer to Him. That is a wonderful blessing that we have an opportunity to know about. I appreciated the words of Brother McGowan today when he was... I liked that analogy about, you know, if you don't get on a plane to St. Louis if you're trying to get to Chicago. Unless, you know, there's like those, what are they called? Layovers. Yeah, you know, everyone just loves those, right? Those transfers of flights, you know, and the gate's always like at the other end that you have to run to in 2 minutes. Yeah, that's how life is sometimes, though, isn't it? You know, I'm going from point A to point B. Next thing you know, you're over at Z. And you're thinking, whoo, I got to get way back over there. How's that going to work? But thank the Lord, that's what we get to call on Him and say, Lord, I don't know how to get back to point B, but I know You know the way. And I'll just follow You. I'll just get behind You and say, Lord, it's You. It's You, Lord. And I think Brother Brett Weinger has mentioned many times in the Psalms, it talks about the path of the Lord, the light of the Lord, how, you know, that light, you got to think about it, it only gives so much. And you don't want to be too far out in front of the Lord. You don't want to be too far behind. But you want to just be right there in step, working with Him. You know, everyone we know here today, as far as in this world, there's a lot of people working for Him. Well, we want to have a better calling on our life. We want to work with the Lord. What He is doing today, and see, since we're His friends, whatever He will do, as He says, He'll reveal it to His prophets and His saints. We have an opportunity to be a part of that because we get a chance to know about it. And that was another thing that I can't remember if it was Brother McGowan or if it was Sister Ogden. Someone had related to truth. And I actually was talking to the... I got the opportunity to teach the younger class today. And I was just trying to relay to them how important it is to get the Word truly anchored in your heart. And what that means as far as to have that knowledge that, you know, through time, we just go into natural history. There was a time that men and women believed the world was flat. That was their truth. It was wrong, but it was the truth they had. And that truth, though, kept them in fear of moving out. That truth, which was an untruth, but until they learned that, they were trapped in just that little hemisphere. That was the known world to them. But whenever that came to light, more truth that, you know what, the world is round. The world is different. There's more area we can move out to, then they started going out and seeking more. Well, that's the same thing with us today. I have to make sure that I am open, number one, to hearing more of the Word of God, to receiving more of the truth, because I don't want to hold on to something that's false, because it can be damaging. You know, so many, I've heard this, and there, and you know, as you're working, interacting with different people, some people giving their just points of view, whether you ask for it or not, most of the time it's just they volunteer and you just, oh, okay, you know, you just, I don't say anything back, I just listen. But it's basically, you know, it's a lot like in the Old Testament where in Judges, where it said everyone did what was right in their own eyes. Is that not so prevalent today? Just, you know, it's subjective. Whatever, if it makes you happy, Sister Lourdes, fine, just go on and do it. But you know, that's not the will of the Lord. The will of the Lord, it's I want to know what His will is. And it isn't the same as everywhere. Like you were mentioning, what plane are we on matters. And I want to guard my heart to, number one, I also want to appreciate where I am today. I want to have that understanding of what have I been given an opportunity to be a part of. You know, in, I think in the book of, let me see, I think it's in James, if you'll give me a second. Brother, you might help me. I thought it was here in James, where might have been Paul, it might not be James, talking about, no, it wasn't in James, where it says that because they didn't have a love of the truth, God sent strong delusion. That's in you know the references until you need them sometimes. Then they go into that special place. Do you have that? Can you look up delusion, Sister Weiner? First Thessalonians, okay. Second Thessalonians, that's it. And for this cause, God shall send them strong delusion, that they should believe a lie. And then verse 12, that they all might be damned who believed not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. You know, I want to guard my heart. I want to realize how important the truth really is. You know, it does matter. It matters what I'm putting. Why? Because that's what I'm putting my heart into. You know, where my heart is, you know, where my treasure is, there's where my heart is. Where what's in me, what I'm allowing to be put in me, is what my focus in life is going to be. And this world, you know, put aside all the other distractions of this, just the ways that we shouldn't be even looking or focusing on, but just the day-to-day life, I can get caught up in so much, and that becomes my focus. That becomes where my heart is. That's my drive. You know, when I come home and I'm still thinking about work, when I go to sleep and I'm still thinking about work, and when I wake and I dream and I'm thinking about and I'm dreaming about work, that's just a bad day is what that is. But, you know, all through, that's where my focus is. And that's where I'm putting, honestly, that's where I'm putting my treasure. And I don't want, because what's the Bible say? You know, we shouldn't put, I think Christ in Matthew talks about laying up treasure. Where should we have it? Not where moth and dust doth corrupt and where thieves break through and steal. But we should have our treasure in heaven, where moth and rust doesn't corrupt. And that's what I want to have my focus on. And some of that is, you know, what am I spending my time on? And right, what I'm doing right now, I want you to know, the Lord's been dealing with me because I want to have a closer walk with Him. I don't want to waste my time. I don't want coming to church to be a routine. I don't want this just to be something else I'm checking off on a list. You know, all right, I go to work Monday, Tuesday. We got church on Wednesday night. You know, Thursday, Friday. Oh, Friday, maybe I can relax a little bit. Saturday, I'm mowing the yard. You know, Sunday, back at church. Oh, the week starts over. That's not what my life is about. But if I let this world have its influence on me, that's what it will be about. And then I'm losing that opportunity that God has given me. I want to keep my focus. And I was thinking about that as far as, and y'all don't laugh too much on this, okay? I enjoyed our pregnancy because I took advantage of that to not necessarily watch what I was eating, okay? So I just, you know, I wanted to, I shared in that wealth, all right? And I've picked up a few pounds through our pregnancy. The thing is, she had Bridget, I didn't. So I'm still where I'm at. Okay? And I was thinking about that. I've really been thinking a lot about it as I can't fit into my pants anymore. So as far as what am I getting a taste for? All right, I already had a taste for sweets. But I've ever been feeding that more and more. And all that does is just make me want more sweets. And I was thinking about that, you know, blessed are they that hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Well, naturally speaking, I have been teaching myself to desire those sweets, to desire the wrong things for my body. And go figure, I'm not gaining more muscle. Every one of those Twix bars I eat, or those Reese's ice cream bars, those are really good, okay? It's not helping me be more fit. It's not helping me get up quicker in the morning. I'm getting up in the morning and thinking, oh, you know, just one more pound. I'm just saying, all right? But I've been trying to apply that back to the spiritual and say, what am I feeding myself? What am I getting a taste for? Am I really studying the Word of God? Not for studying's sake, not to say, I've studied today. Woo-hoo, bless the Lord, I am righteous. But because I want to know what the truth is. I want to know what His will is for my life today. I want to focus on Him and say, God, y'all back me up on this one. For me, if going to work and working at waste management and, you know, mowing the yard and those type of things, if that's all we have here, yuck. Okay, you know, that's not the life that I'm hoping that's not my end. That's just a part of it. I don't want that to be the focus of it. What my focus needs to be is on lifting Him up each and every day. And the way I can do that is by looking in here, this perfect law of liberty, and realizing that I need to keep that mirror ever before me. And I need to look at places like in 2 Peter, where it talks about, I think Brother Linegar said this was the adding chapter, where he says, I think Brother Stafus talked on this the other night, where he's talking about, and besides it in 1 Peter and 5, and besides this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance. You know, I don't want to just read through those, but I want to look and evaluate my life and realize, okay, Lord, where are you working on me today? How can I submit myself to you a little bit more to where I can have more faith in my life? I can vanquish that fear that keeps me from doing your will, and I can have more faith. And then from that faith, then I can be a more virtuous person. This world is looking for those examples today. And then I go through here and I'm continually adding. But then over in 1 Peter, he's talking more about the subtraction part. I remember this from when Brother Linegar would talk about this, and I've just been thinking on those things lately. You know, I'm going back over, if any of y'all have that book, that The Divine Principles, just trying to go back over that again and check myself and see, Lord, have I grown in this area? Or did I just hear it to hear it? Or am I really, you know, it's not within me. I mean, believe me, I understand that. Without God's grace and His mercy, I wouldn't even be alive. So that's a given. I need to accept, I appreciate that. I want to lift that up and say, thank you, Lord, for your mercy. Thank you for your grace so that I even have this opportunity. But I can't put it all off on Him. Okay, I can't just say, well, Lord, just, you know, bing, just zap your finger, whatever you do, and I'm there. It doesn't work that way, does it, Brother Painter? It's, you know, it's line upon line. One of these areas here, wherefore, in chapter 2 of 1 Peter, laying aside all malice, all guile, hypocrisies, envies, and all evil speakings. You know, I can read that, and if you just read over real quick, well, none of that's me. Well, what if I open up my heart, though, and realize, do I ever have malice in my heart? Do I have malcontent for a brother? Do I, or it may not be for a brother, do I just let things rub me the wrong way to put me in a critical attitude? How many of y'all remember the three C's? Don't criticize, condemn, or complain. Whew, that last one right there, let me tell you, I think the Lord's helped me. I don't really condemn anyone, all right? But that complaining one, it's so easy to get over into that one. You know, every day at work, obviously y'all can see where the Lord deals with me a lot, right? He's at work. I work at a trash place. What do you want from me, okay? It's a very easy environment. People always, you know, naturally speaking, they bring their waste to us. Spiritually speaking, it's like they bring their waste to me. And it's like, okay, what, Lord, help me recycle this, or do I just need to put it in the landfill? What do I do here? I want to understand that I have to guard my heart and not let that negative attitude that's in this world come into my heart. You know, every single thing that comes out from our management, I may not agree with, I may not like, I may not want to implement it, but I'm not in that position to be against it. And when I complain about it, what I'm saying basically really is that God, because ultimately if God is over, if He's, that one song, if He's over my life, then God is involved in every part of my life. And I need to acknowledge Him in that and realize, Lord, for what, however this is going to make it have its perfect work in me, God, I want to be a willing vessel. I want to put my life down before You and let it, if it's going to knock a little bit of that edge off of me, if it's going to make me a little more humble, if it's going to make me appreciate You that much more because I have to have more faith in You, God grant it. That's what I need. And I don't want to have that complaining spirit or that critical spirit of anything new that comes along. I can figure out a way that it's negative. Oh, well, that's not going to work. Or, oh, that I don't like this or I don't like that. Now, I'm just bearing my soul today to my brothers and sisters. I'm just trying to say that I don't want that spirit. You know, I've was given an opportunity to be here in this place, to be able to hear the oracles of God, to feel that wonderful spirit. I don't want to be one that doesn't have a love for the truth. And that's part of that truth. I appreciate the doctrines. The four major doctrines going all that. I know that's very important. And I appreciate what it's working in my life. But I also want to remember these principles. You know, I want to remember Matthew 5, 6, and 7. 1 Corinthians 13. Not just for quoting's sake, but to really see, God, am I pure in heart? Lord, am I mourning for the way that my spirit is? Am I putting down that old man enough so that you can have a better opening into my life? So that I can be that vessel of honor and not that vessel of dishonor. That's what my heart's desire is. But I also know that if I don't humble myself and just ask for His help, I can't work any of that in my own self. I just have to submit myself and say, Lord, where are you working at today? But as I was talking to the young people downstairs, if I don't have even a knowledge of it, though, if I don't put it in my heart, God don't quicken what's not there. Okay? I have to know about it. Whenever, you know, we that scripture, and I went over that today about trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not into thine own understanding, and all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy paths. Well, that's a great one. It's one that I know so well. I memorized it 15 different times through school. But what's it doing for me? But at least the verse part, I know it. I have a knowledge of it. But now I really need to understand, what does that mean to me? Trust in the Lord with all my heart. All my heart. That's a big word right there. All my heart. And then what? Don't lean on my own understanding. Okay, well, trust in the Lord with all my heart. Lean not on my understanding, so I got to lean on Him. Okay, well, how do I learn to lean on Him? You know, we can sing the song, I lean on you, Lord. But to say I lean on Him and to truly lean on Him are two different things. I need to be able to humble myself enough to say, you know what, sometimes, Brother McGowan, I don't even know how to lean on Him. I don't know. You know, okay, Lord, do I stand? Do I go? Do I jump? Do I kneel down? What do you want me to do? And since y'all haven't shared God's email address with me, I don't know. He doesn't just send me an email right away, or a fax, or a text, or a Facebook instant message. It's just sometimes, what do we have to do? We just have to wait. Just wait and let God have His perfect work. And it may just be to burn a little bit more of that out of me. It may just be to make me, you know, I think I said to Brother McGowan, sometimes I feel like, it's like, woo, so this is what a steak feels like. I am now almost, I'm not well done yet. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. One of these days, that's what He'll say, but I'm not yet. Sometimes I realize I'm still raw. I haven't cooked long enough. Why? Because it's hot. And I like to, you know, pour some water on my sacrifice. Don't let me burn, for crying out loud. I want to keep this. But if I'll just humble myself and say, Lord, take away this flesh, Lord. I don't want the flesh in my life anymore. I want to have Your will in my life. I want to know that when He can touch my heart, and I'll listen. I'll have an ear to hear what God is saying. And it's not for my own personal benefit. If He blesses me, and that song, I really appreciate that, Sister Dolores. The Lord has blessed us so much. You know, I can think about just in the last 2 years, my life is not the same. And I thank God for that. I appreciate the blessings. A lot of that has been on the natural side, but I know the Lord. It's because of the Lord, though. It's because of the Lord, because He's been showing me His love. I want to appreciate that, but I also don't want to take for granted what He's done on the spiritual side and how He's given me this opportunity. How He said, you know what? You can go. Everyone that's in here within my earshot today, the Lord has said, you can go. You can go. All you got to do is say, yes, Lord. And that's not, you know, we can say, oh, we just got to say yes, Lord. Sometimes that's challenging. Sometimes it's hard. Sometimes you're like, maybe, Lord. I'll see what I can do for you, Lord. Because it's tough to lean on Him sometimes. You know, the thing is, I was mentioning this to someone earlier. I was thinking about those times. There's certain times in the Bible when if those brothers and sisters hadn't answered the call, how differently would that chapter be written? You know, wouldn't the day of Pentecost be so more anticlimactic if the 120 hadn't been in the upper room. On the day of Pentecost, when it was fully come, no one was there. Ooh, wow. Next chapter. Or what about, here you had in the days of King Saul, when Goliath was out there making a mockery of the children of Israel and God, and you had thousands of Israelite warriors trained in combat, armored, had weaponry. And what were they doing that day? Shaking in their boots. I mean, they were back here. You know, I'm not going. How about you? You're going to go? I ain't going. Brother Weiger, you going to go? I ain't going. I'll tell you what. I got your back. You go first. And they were all just standing around. It took one willing vessel. That's all. Was he naturally speaking, was he the one that everyone looked at as equipped? No. Some punk kid, right? What, his brother's mad at him? Get on back home. Boy, we know what you're up to, knucklehead. You're just over here trying to see what's going on so you can think it's all cool. That's what his brothers thought, right? But he answered the call because God doesn't call the equipped. He equips the called. God says, I don't need you to be some mighty man. I'll take care of it. No mighty woman, I'll take care of that part. You just be a willing vessel. Well, God, that's what I want to be today. I just want to be a willing vessel. So often I know, and I've said it in testimony, you know, I'm not worthy to be here. Well, that's redundant. Duh. I know that. He knows that. You guys know that. There's nothing good in me. Now, that's not a true statement anymore. If the gift of the Holy Ghost resides in your life, there is greatness in you. God's very strength and power and spirit reside in you. So I don't want to forget about that part. I just need to know, though, that it's not because of me, but God will use me. God will use you. It just has to be, Lord, yes, I'll answer the call. I really have appreciated Brother Smith, the way he presented it recently. And once again, it's one of those things where, like, when you hear it and it clicks, you're like, oh, that makes sense. Why didn't I ever think of that before? You know, when he was talking about the bride class of people, and we're all in here called, that's our calling is the bride class to be a part of that. And he said what? He said, we're all to be leaders. Wait, he said it again. He said, we're all called to be leaders. And that's not just the people that sit right here. That's not just the band members. That's not just the piano corner. That's the church. We're all called to be leaders. We're all called. That's all of our callings. Right now, while we're coming into the truth, there's a certain order to things. But as that truth is restored, that responsibility lies on each and every one of us. Because if you're perfect, if you're striving for that, if you're attaining that perfection, then aren't you like Christ? And if you're like Christ, don't you think you can have an influence on someone's life? God, help me to realize what my calling really means. What my calling means to myself, what my calling means to the world. It's not a selfish calling. Brother Painter gave, an outstanding talk during the youth meeting, you know, about learning to receive. Okay, we've been given the gift of the Holy Ghost. We've received the gift of the Holy Ghost. But as he spoke, you know what? Once again, it's for me, but it's for me to come to a maturity so that I can then in turn provoke others to seek after the Lord, to show them what happened on the day of Pentecost. Were they up in that room and did they lock the door? Did they make sure, don't let anyone else know the Holy Ghost has fallen? No, they went out. They went out and they affected that world. They turned it upside down. Or in this case, really, right side up. Well, that is our calling here today. You know, I really been looking forward to service today because I want more. I want more of Him. I want more of that Spirit. I want more of His Word in my life. But the thing is, I was thinking about that. It's like, you know, it's almost like the Lord stopped me right there. He said, okay, if I give it to you, but let me explain something to you, boy. You had best put into practice what I've already given you. If I've already given you something and you're not using it, why do you think I'm going to give you more? I don't want to take it for granted. I want to realize what God has given. And this is not about Brother Phil. This is about us. This is about the church. This is about the body of Christ. This wonderful message, this vision. You know what? Without a vision, the people perish. Well, you know what? We have a vision here today, don't we? To see that restored church. And I know this beyond a shadow of a doubt. We don't have to wait for a true restored church. It's being restored today. This is our ministry. When? Today. God will work with us when? Today. He's not waiting for then. If I wait till then, I won't be a part of tomorrow. If I don't do my part today, I won't be a part of the bride. If I don't do my part today, I won't be a part of the church tomorrow. Today is the day of the Lord. Today is the day to lift Him up. Today is the day to praise Him. Not tomorrow, right now. This is the moment I have. I'm not promised tomorrow. It's another reason I've been thinking about the health thing. When you have a nurse tell you, and this was a couple of years ago, this is not good bedside manner. But I said something about not having, she's like, oh, Mr. Fisher. First off, she called me Mr. Fisher. Who's that? That's my father. And then she goes, you haven't been here in a long while. I'm like, yeah, I know. I haven't been sick. No, at your age, you should be in. What do you mean at my age? What's this my age stuff? That's got me thinking about, I'm telling you the truth, okay? That really did happen. I'm thinking about that, though, physically speaking. You know, my time is always. That's what Christ said. If I'm not taking care, if I'm eating too many of those Reese's vanilla, y'all pray for me about that, okay? If I'm eating a lot of those, that's not doing anything good for me, physically speaking. And if I'm not taking care of my physical body, I can't be one of those that just say, well, the Lord will take care of it. Bless the Lord, I'll stand in front of a bus and we'll just see if He'll save me. Okay, let me know how that works out for you. I don't want to do that, though, on a smaller level. If I'm eating too many Reese's or cheesecake or honey buns, if I'm eating donuts. It wasn't a donuts. What's that? I'm sorry, brother. I'm just speaking my heart for me, okay? You know? It's a double-edged sword. Okay, I love the glazed honey buns. Oh. I cried when Hostess closed the first time, okay? Anyway, they've got chocolate Twinkies now, too. All right, I'm sorry. See that flesh. I mean, this, I don't want that to be my focus, though. I need to realize that if I don't take care of my physical to the point that I can then be used. Yeah. All right, so. Test. I think this pulled out. That's what I think happened.
Oh. Okay.
See? Am I on again? Technology is so awesome when it works, isn't it? I don't want to... Oh, that does work. I do not want... That's not going to be my focus. And I'm happy about that. But that's not my focus just on my physical body. But all I'm trying to say is it just related back in my mind as far as if I'm not taking care of myself, I'm not promised tomorrow. Okay? So I do need to take care of myself. I'm not trying to give myself an out to only be able to eat Twinkies. But I'm just saying that I need to have my focus and realize that God has called us for a reason. It's not for me just to squander it on myself or just to receive. And I'm not going to go tomorrow. No, I'm not going to go tomorrow to work for it. Definitely. I'm not going to go Tuesday to work and say, thus saith the Lord, to everyone in waste management. I don't know that would go over very well, okay? But if I'll just be showing forth my life, if I will just be a little bit brighter of a light today, the more of us that have a little bit brighter today, guess what? That's that light. That's that light that the world needs. The city that's set on the hill that cannot be hid. So all I'm saying here today is I want that light to shine brighter today. So when I came here today, I want to feel more of that Spirit. And I want the Lord to hold me accountable for it because I need it. I need that Spirit. I need that Word. You know what? I ask my brothers and sisters here, hold me accountable. If I'm not putting forth the charitable spirit, I'm asking you to be charitable enough not to, you know, don't smack me on the side of the cheek and ask me to turn the other. But let me know, hey, Brother Phil, are you all right? You know, give me one of those. Are you okay? And then you interpret it and go, they must know something's wrong. I must be acting like a knucklehead. That's how my mind works, okay? So I don't want to do that, though. But if I do, then, Sister Bonnie, you have every right to say, bless your heart. Are you having a bad day? Do I need to pray for you? Let me know. Let me know. Are we not in this together? Are we not helping each other along, getting that much closer to our goal? I'm asking. I'm asking for help. I want to make it. How about you? I want to make it. Let me tell you. You know why it makes me so happy to be here on Wednesday and Sunday? Because I get to see your faces. I get to see people that have a vision just like me. I get to see people with a heart hungry for God. That brings joy in my heart, joy in my soul, because there's someone that we know there's more to this. There's more to it, because whenever I'm out driving around and I see just the masses in the workplace and on the roads, it's just like, God, do they have an opportunity? Do they have a chance? We're their chance. We're their chance. If I can shine my light a little brighter, just maybe we can share that. And isn't it worth it? Do we have something that's worth sharing today? Do we have the most precious gifts given to us? Do I have that? Have I been given gold and precious stones? And I play with them sometimes like they're marbles, like they're nothing. I want to hold on to them, and not to hide them. I don't want to be a miser. And I don't want to be braggadocious about it. Well, look what I have and you don't. Nana, nana, boo, boo. I wouldn't say that like that. I'm just saying. But I want my life to bring forth those jewels. I want to have them. I want to be adorned in them to where just the Spirit of the Lord can affect those other people. So when trials and tests come their way, when things go against them, then what's going to happen? If they can just remember, hey, you know, there was that guy at Waste Management. There was something different about him. Maybe I can ask him. Maybe he might have a word. And that day I may not have some revelation to give him. I may just say, you know what? I don't have all the answers, but guess what? I know a man who does. And all you got to do is lift your hands to him. You don't have to go to some priest. You don't have to go somewhere. But you can do it where? Right here. You can lift your hands and say, Lord God of the heavens, I am yours. Forgive me. I want to be in your loving arms. I need you, Lord. And he is faithful to reach down and to lift us up. And that's why I appreciate it. And I know that I am privileged to be in the house of the Lord today. So I just wanted to give my heart and say how thankful I am to be here. And I'll go ahead and take us to prayer. I know that Sister Smith was not feeling well. She told me earlier, and she was asking for us to pray. She'd know if she'd be here tonight. The ones that were mentioned today, all those out, the Boyds didn't make it back tonight. So let's remember Brother Mark, Brother Durham. Sister Durham, I could tell she looked like she didn't feel very well. Are the girls sick as well, or just Reba? Okay, so let's remember her as well. Sister Loris, do you have your hand up? No? Okay. Well, Brother Bryant, I know Brother Bryant needs prayer. Okay. He's got an ox in the ditch, but we know he's also been hurt. I mean, coming in crutches, he's not feeling well. Yes? DJ has some throat problems, and he has an unspoken request. Anyone else? I thought about Brother Henry today. I thought about him. Brother Johnson. Has anyone heard Brother Johnson? Is he out of state right now with his wife? He's in Alabama. Okay. Let's remember them. I know he would desire our prayers, and his wife as well. Any others? Sister Tiffany, and also haven't seen Sister Shay in a while. Let's remember her and her family. Tell you what, it really did my heart good to see all of Sister Abraham's, or a good number of Sister Abraham's family in here today. You know, the effectual, fervent prayer of the righteous availeth much. You know, one day I wasn't here. One day my mom went down on her knees and was praying that the Lord would shake me over hell on a broken rail, whatever that means. And he did a good job of it. And thank the Lord I'm back. I'm back. I appreciate that. You know, our prayers do matter. When I pray, I want to know, Lord, by faith, you will answer these for what needs to be answered. Your answer may be no, but he still answered it. It may be maybe. He may say, just wait. Just wait. Not yet. Not time yet, boy. Just be patient. All right? But I still want to be able to lift him up. I want to be able to pray for these people and know that God, he has the answers. Any other needs here today? All right, let's remember Brother Jacob. This is another one. He's got, you said, shoulder problems? That's another one, though, that one of our children, let's claim him as a church, our children that was raised here, he's going a different way right now. But the Lord, you know, the Lord, they're his. They're his. He's not going to forget them. Did Sister Lynette, do you think he forgot Caleb? No, he didn't forget Caleb. And now he's back here. That's what I'm saying. But I want to raise them up. I want to raise up our loved ones who aren't with us right now. But bless the Lord, they will have that opportunity, I know. Any other requests? Brother and Sister Weaver, let's definitely remember them as well. The meeting in Louisville, and Sister Stewart has an unspoken request. All right, if we'll go ahead and stand, we'll take these needs to the Lord tonight. Is there a need for an offering tonight? Let's go ahead and take these needs to the Lord. Dear Jesus, we thank you, Lord. We appreciate you for being our Father, Lord, our advocate, Lord. You take these needs to the great God in heaven and let him know, Lord, you've been in shoe leather. You know what it's like to be here, Lord, to feel the aches and pains, dear God. We ask you, Lord, take this to him, Lord. Oh, God, Brother Crow and Sister Crow, Lord, those that are not here tonight due to sickness, for the boy and his issues, Lord, you know, God. You know, Lord. Oh, God, we just ask you to help us, Lord. Bring in your spirit in a greater measure, Lord. Touch us, Lord. Touch our minds that we can receive more of you, Lord. Move closer to you, Lord. Fulfill our calling, Lord, what you want from us. God, we need you so much, Lord. I'm dependent upon you, Lord. Without you, I am nothing, Lord. I appreciate you, Lord. But with you, we are more than conquerors, Lord. Oh, God, we appreciate you, Lord. Just help us here today, dear God, to seek you with a whole heart, Lord. Oh, God, lifting you up, Lord, praising you, Lord, lifting your name, dear God. We thank you, Lord. We pray to you in your wonderful Son, Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Oh, God, touch Sister Smith, Lord. Oh, Jesus, with different ones, dear God. We love you, Lord. We love you so much, dear God. Oh, God, let our walk with you be a testimony to other people, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Touch Sister Reba, Lord. Help her to get through the sickness, God. Thank you, Lord. We're meeting in Louisville, Lord. Appreciate you. So many things, Lord, but you know them all, dear God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Oh, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Oh, God. There's no novices in here tonight. We've all been here. We know the way of this group of people. We know the way that God is working with us. Take your liberty. The service is as much as God will allow, is what he'll bless us with, but It's our service. It's our service. So if you have a burning testimony, if you have a song, if you feel God putting that fire down in your bones, Joe, and you want to go ahead and come up here and minister, it's open, brother. It's right here. Whatever it is that God puts on your heart tonight, share it with us. I need something for the rest of my week. How about you? Let's just lift him up tonight.
Maybe this will do me for another 6 months or a year. We'll see how it goes. But when Brother Fisher was mentioning, that little treats that he was eating, I thought, well, let's think about great-grandma Loy. And I know he doesn't remember because she passed away back in 1975 and had both of her legs off. And then for my he remembers this lady, maybe, Ann Edith Seton. She had one leg removed. So, you know, if you don't watch what you eat, well, he's even got a more personal situation. He's got an uncle that he loves those honey buns with the cream filling with the chocolate on top, or the little donuts that have the lemon filling and the or the apple filling or the blueberry filling. But I can't eat that all the time, because every once in a while my finger gets poked and it says 300. I think, I can't do that. And every day, you know, here's just personal experience. I have to give myself insulin, metformin, and other things. So you got this on one hand, it's sweet to the belly, but you got this on the other hand. It hurts when you stick yourself with them pins where you're giving your insulin. So that hurts. So you got to look at the good and the bad. Back when I was 20 and 30, I didn't think about my ding-dongs and my Twinkies and all that. But now I'm thinking, Lord, if I only knew. If I only knew what was going to face now when I'm just middle-aged. See, my grandmother was 100 years old, so I always consider myself middle-aged now. So I'm thankful for the body of Christ, and I'm thankful. You know, this might last me for another 6 months to a year. I don't like testifying that often. I heard about one time I was missing, Dad testified, and I thought, I need to get that tape or that disc, because I thought, well, he testified. But when I find out the date, I might get it one of these days. But I'm very thankful for what Brother Fisher mentioned of the gold and the silver and the precious stones that we get in this church, and the things that we just learn here. And he said that there was no novelists here tonight. We're all home folk. So I'm just thankful. I'm just old home folk. And Brother Daniels, we've been here in this local church for over 46 years. This local church, Brother and Sister McGowan, Brother and Sister McGowan and Paul and different ones were the only people in this church when we moved here in 68. They're still here. And I'm thankful for those people that are still here. And I miss the ones that are not here no more. And then a few years later, we had another wonderful family come from Missouri, from St. Louis. Do I have to say any names? But I'm thankful for that family coming here. And then the different ones that just kept on coming and coming and building this church. So we might be a lot of migrants in this church, but what do you think the children of Israel was when they was going through the wilderness? They were migrants. So just think of how many wonderful migrants we got in this church. We even got somebody from some families from Springdale. I'm thankful for them people. And then Republic. We even got a Texan here. I can tell you a story on that Texan. Her and her mother-in-law, when they first moved to Arkansas, or when they were young, I wouldn't do that now. Would pull down Go Hogs Go posters off people's cars. I think I adapted. At least I can Go Hogs Go if I have to. But I'm thankful. I'm very thankful for this church and thankful for where I'm at. And I might be a C average student in the body of Christ. But hey, if I make it, I don't want to, as brother, starting to act like somebody else I know. Brother Fisher said, he don't want to be medium rare. I don't even want to be rare. I want to be well done. So I'm thankful I'm here. And hopefully this will last for another while until ever I get the unction to function. And I'm thankful I'm here.
Make my life, oh yes, a vessel.
last time I put one of them on was this chick in my heart. So it kind of makes me leery when it starts sticking little things. You know, electronics is good. It's helped us get the word out. You know, I think that is really the true intentions of everything that has been invented, is that God sees fit to have all this made for the spreading of his word, you know. And I know everything that has been invented has been used for even the killing of innocent people. And so man has made his own devices and made them his way, but that's not what I got up here for. I got up here to say how much I love the Lord. And you know, here am I. You know, I was thinking about that. A young woman came to Christ and said something about something being blessed or something, and he said something to her. She was a Gentile, and she said, you know, even the dogs gets a few crumbs from underneath the table. You know, I thought about that a lot, and he was amazed at her. Humility and humbleness and wanting to know. And then, you know, it wasn't for the Gentiles at that time. And I feel like that I'm blessed because I'm a Gentile. I'm a heathen. I'm one of those that does not deserve the even the blessings of God. At that time, if you were a Gentile, you never even felt the Lord. Even that woman that pressed through to touch his garment, she said, if I could just touch the hem of his garment. You know, that's to me, that says that there's got to be a pressing through. The part that it said, go and sell all that you have and buy the field. And in that field, there's a treasure. And that's what we're seeking, is the treasure. I know in a lot of times, even in the body and in the religious world, there's a lot of money passed from hand to hand. There's a lot of businesses going on, but the true intent of a church is to provide that treasure to that soul. That's the true intent. And I feel so unworthy to even, to stand up and say, God, help me. You know, sometimes we struggle like we're in the dark. And, you know, I give a lot of respect to the young people, because I know when I was young, we were raised in church. And at that time, can I get a glass of water, please? I don't know if it's, my mouth is dry. And have you ever had just a dry mouth? You think, you know, you thank you, brother. I appreciate it so much. But I do so appreciate God. And, you know, if you are a young person, sell all that you have. Sell out. And buy that field. And that is in the body of Christ. And because I can assure you, if you would listen today and what has been said here, all along, God will provide. He will provide you with a husband or a wife. He will provide you with a car. He will provide you with a job, and probably one of the best jobs you've ever had, if you'll sell out to God and put Him first in everything that you do. You know, because most young girls and most young people, the first thing they look for is a spouse. And then sometimes when you get them, you think, man, what have I got a hold of now? But that goes along with the job, most usually, always. But, you know, put God first. Because I'm telling you, this is one of the best things that has ever happened to me. It is one of the best things that you can get into. If you want to meet people, right here's the place. If you want to learn things, right here's the place. God will give you, you know, God will give you a direction. You know, I know a lot of times we think, well, we're just spinning our wheels and we're just, it's kind of like in the Army. You get in a platoon and you're standing there just marching time. You're not going nowhere, but you're just left, right, left, right, left. You're not doing nothing. You're not going nowhere. You're just standing there marching time. And sometimes we feel that way. You know, we feel like we're not accomplishing anything, but we are. God is working on us. You know, I've had God to do things for me that I thought, man, Lord, You just proved Yourself to me that You love me. You know, I mean, He will. He'll do things for you that you think, Lord, I'm just a little part of this universe. You know, God is something of everything. He's a psychiatrist. He's a doctor. He's a scientist. He's a financier. He is a carpenter. He's a anything you want to think of, that's what He is. But most of all, He is our Savior. He is our Savior. And you know, we think, Lord, especially, you know, I'm getting a little bit older, I think, God, what have I done with my life? And then I think about the good things that God has done for me. I mean, He has done so many good things for me. I could sit down and write a book of all the good things God has done for me, and I don't even know about it. There's things that is behind the scenes that is going on that God has touched me with that I have no idea that He done those. But then when somebody comes and tells me, well, you know, this happened or this happened, and I thought, God done this. God did this. God was in on this. And so I just wanted to get up and reiterate how good God is. He is a good person. You know, it's kind of like, I remember at home, it was always a secret thing. And we do that here. I do that too at home. I never knew how much money Mom and Dad had. Or I never knew the bills that they had. Or I never knew about how they got the groceries. You know, because they never sat down and told us. Said, now, Jerry, now I've only got $10 and it's got to last this whole month. You know, they never told me about the bad things like that. It always happened. But Mom and Dad always seem to provide. And that's the way God does. He you know, He may not tell you everything, how He's going to go about doing it, but He always provides. He always does. And you know, I am trying to get out of this about being worried about my finances so much. Seems like it'll drive you nuts if you let it. It will. But you know, I'm trying to let God help me. You know, I just only get so much. And I thought, Lord, but He seems to provide. He seems to help. And so take that to the bank. He will help you. I don't care what predicament, what area you're in, God will provide. I don't care. And if you're sick, God will touch you. God will touch you. What about the man that was at the gate that was standing there begging for alms for so many years? And then who was it? Was it Paul? Who was it? Peter and John came by and just his shadow. Or did he say that to that man? Rise up and walk. Because God gave him the authority to give that man, to let him stand up on his legs. How would you like to bend that person? Not only that, but to see that and say, God done that. God done. I believe we'll see that before it's over with. Don't you? I believe that. I believe that somebody will jump up and say, Hallelujah, I can see again. You know, a blind man jump up and say, God touched me. He touched me. He touched my eyes. He let me see. But the thing of it is, He is allowing me to see the righteousness that is in Him, that He's trying to place in you and me. He's trying that. And young person, if I were you, let God work on you. Let God move on you. Let God fill you with the Holy Ghost. Let Him just give up to Him and say, God, I'm going to serve you. Because there's some bad influences out there. I know when I went to school, I tried to tell some of my little buddies that I got the Holy Ghost. You know what happened? They didn't pat me on the back and say, good boy, I'm glad you did. No, they ridiculed me. They made me feel like that I was nothing. But you know, I took it. And I said, I didn't know it at the time, but God helped me through that. He helped me through that. I still had the Holy Ghost when I went back to church the next following, when God moved and was speaking in tongues. I still had it. But don't let that deter you. Come to church with your head up and say, God, whatever you got for me today, I want some of it. If God, if you want to move on me and give me the sweet Holy Ghost, I want some of it. I want a blessing, Lord. Because I'm here and I'm entirely in your hands. God, I love Him. Don't you love God? I love God. Praise Him. Praise His holy name. But I'll get down from here. I just wanted to let you know how much I love the Lord. And I appreciate Him. And I want Him to know that. That's why I'm here. That's why I'm up. I want to let God know that I still appreciate Him. That He's still on His throne. That He's still doing things for us. That He's still blessing us. And that He's still touching us. And I appreciate that. I appreciate that. Thank you, Lord. I'll get down from here.
been a good day, hasn't it? I'm thrilled somewhat. You know, I'm not jumping up and down and all that kind of thing like that, but to realize that, you know, the way the service and the Bible study and the service has been going, kind of been working on our attitude, hadn't it? I mean, our thoughts. And, you know, how we view ourselves, and, you know, from where we're at. You know, we are blessed at this time, aren't we? I mean, to have what we know. When I first come in to this church, after I got been here for a while, my thoughts was, well, this is the cutting edge of Christianity, isn't it? I mean, you know, because things were, people were considering their ways. It was what we're doing today. I mean, just, we're still doing that, aren't we? We consider our ways. The Bible says, in a day of adversity, consider your ways. And we should continue to do that. That's not over till it's over. Because, you know, we have a goal in mind. We have a vision till we come to the knowledge of Christ, you know, to the fullness of Christ, and to a perfect man. That's, you know, we have that, that those scriptures are given to us to know where we're, what we're reaching for. The things we've heard today and Bible study and tonight and testimonies of the people, their experiences, that tells us that, you know, we are constantly, and I say this with tongue in cheek, evolving. Spiritually is what I mean. I just don't have a better word. I'm sorry. But we're pressing on, aren't we? And to do that, we do have to consider our thoughts, and, you know, what we think of ourselves and what we think of others. And what we think of God. You know, we know God's not a cosmic Santa Claus, but He will provide, won't He? And then at the same time, we have to believe, have faith in God, as the Hebrew children, the Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. If we get thrown in the fire, God will deliver us. But if He don't, we still trust in God, don't we? My God. And I'm not there yet, folks. I want to be there. But that's what this is all about, to get us there, isn't it? And quite honestly, I'm enjoying the journey. And from the Bible study this morning, and things, it brought to mind, Brother Painter gave the example of the Samaritan woman at the well. And Jesus, when He taught the people a lot of times, in some of His lessons, He used Samaritans quite a bit. You ever wondered why? The Samaritans were kind of, they were part Jew, and they were outcasts. They were the end product of, from what I understand, if I understand it right, is when the kingdom split. And was it Jeroboam who, is that right, you scholars? Rehoboam was king of Judah, and Jeroboam, and I still hadn't figured out how God sort of sanctioned that, you know, and how it turned out. It's I haven't got that quite straight. So, but it happened, you know. For you know, sometimes when we get that scripture, all things work together for the good, we really wonder, don't we? I mean, we come to the, well, how did, but believing in God, but apparently the, you know, there was two kingdoms, and that's the kind of way things ended up, the Samaritans, if my understanding is right. Regardless of what my understanding is, Jesus used the Samaritans, didn't he? So it doesn't matter what my understanding is, as the fact is that Jesus used them for a lesson. Because the Jews had no dealings with the Samaritans, did they? There was a reason behind that. And so Jesus gave a lesson one day. He said a man went down from Jerusalem down to Jericho. And on the way he fell among thieves, which they beat him up and probably took his belongings, and you know, he was in a bad way. So after a while, here come a, I think it was a Levite, and he just ignored the man and went on his way. Then again, a priest come by, got on the other side of the road, I think it was, you know, and just kind of walked on by, you know. I know nothing, you know. And so here comes this Samaritan. A Samaritan, you know, and Jesus is giving this lesson. A Samaritan. Which stopped and took that man and bound him on his own horse or mule or donkey, whatever it was. Then took him to an inn or a place of where they could keep him, and told, said, treat this man right, fix him up, and whatever, here, gave him some money, and if it takes more, when I come back, I will pay you out of my own pocket. And Jesus was showing the righteousness was not with the Levite or with the priest, the high priest, those that were the called of God, supposedly, of the, you know, we are seed of Abraham's, as it were, but the one that did the will of God. And that's what he was trying to show. You know, those religious people, their animosity wasn't against Gentiles, as it were. Not so much. But was those who they thought were not doing the will of God. Now those that, and because they even though they claimed God, and Jesus told them, said, you worship not what, you know, you don't know what you're worshiping. And he told them what's the way it is. But at the same time, used them as a lesson, saying that they did the will of, oh, this Samaritan did the will of God in this story, isn't it? Showing that the lesson Jesus gave, here's what I count as righteous. They that do the will of my Father. Isn't that great? And the lessons we got today, the things that we heard, humbling as it may be, my younger brother used to be a pastor over Assembly God Church. And he got talking one day about the assemblies this and assemblies that. And I thought, well, I really don't see it that way. You know, the assembly's this, assembly that. Can we not just say, I do the will of my Father. And if I can do the will of my Father, then what comes with it? The blessings. Because, you know, we are just Gentiles. We're the wild olive branch, as it were. And the attitude that we can learn is, my God, you know, to value people where they are. It doesn't excuse people from sin, does it? Of unrepented sin. It does not excuse them. But our compassion, they are there because of whatever reason. Maybe they fell among thieves. Maybe they're whatever reason, you know. But isn't it wonderful that we can be, if we choose to be, as that Samaritan, that we can bring healing to those people that we've seen others that they walked on the other side of the road. And so, brethren, that's what I received today. It brought to my mind that no matter as much as we appreciate God and where we're at today, that He can keep us in check, can't He? He can keep us in check. And I do appreciate everything that we received in this church. But I still, at times, you know, thank God for the Word of God, that when I've done all I can do, I still count myself an unprofitable servant. But at the same time, an heir of God. Isn't that something? Isn't that something? I boast not against the branches. My Lord. We can just go from one end to the other, can't we? In this emotional spectrum. But thank God that He puts those things in the Word of God to let us know that He will provide. That He will provide. Keep our thoughts in check and praise God. I'm thankful to be here tonight.
I wouldn't take nothing from my journey. I really wouldn't. You know, and from the beginning of Bible study this morning with Brother Painter and his talk, and showing us how to, I felt what he was saying is how important each one of us is to one another, you know. And at times, you may not realize just how important somebody is, because they could, and I'm not talking about anybody specific, they could be a cross or they could be a burden. But still, at some point in my life, I through the walk that I've chosen to walk so far, I have seen what God was trying to show me. You know, I had to get to a point in my life to see what God was trying to show me. But that's not what I want to really talk about, is just how wonderful it is to be in service today. From every word that has been said from everybody, at how we've heard the journey of somebody and the struggle, but how God was always with them and that he always was with them. And I'm sure there were times, there have been times in my life that I've gone through trials and tests and that I, like, God, where are you? You know, are you sure? You know? But then as I just kept walking and I stayed on that walk and I didn't leave that walk, you know. And there were times that I had to go to my knees and seek the Lord and ask him for the strength to continue that walk. But I stayed through it, Brother Painter. I stayed through it. And then it was just like, as you know, when I guess I'd graduated that little test, God, you know, then I could see the full picture of the lesson that I was going through. And I'm saying this to just, I appreciate you people, and I appreciate where God has placed me. We'll make sure no visitors do. In the journey of my walk in my business, ooh, I'm learning a lot. And I'm so glad in dealing with people, you know. And I'm so thankful that I've grew up here. I'm so thankful that my dad took me to church and showed me that there was a Lord. But I really feel like my growing up experience with the Lord is here. And just a little quick lesson that I just kind of feel like might help is I do retreats, and I get new people. And this year I've got 3 people coming, one from Texas and one from Oklahoma and another one from Arkansas that have never been. But it's like the Lord has really helped me in dealing with people. And just a lesson that I shared that I felt like God had helped me with, because last year I was growing and taking in, you know, new ladies that want to attend the retreat. And I always pray, because every retreat, you know, can be different when you have different people, and if they're not used to what you do, if they're not used to your routine, because I keep God very much involved in my retreats. You know, we have a blessing before we eat every meal. And but I felt like the Lord just really helped me to show that in bringing people together. And this year, in the spring, the Lord gave me my first black lady. And I never felt so honored and so privileged in all my life because of how I value Sister Inez and Brother Daniels and Brother and Sister Tally, and just how important, you know, Jesus doesn't look at us in anything in that way. And so, and I was praying, because I'd in dealing with different people and wanting to make them feel just, you know, just as welcome, I said, Lord, you know, just kept praying, and I asked the Lord to be with me. And so when we gathered, because I always have the ladies, we gather in a circle and we hold hands. And I have different ones that will help me pray. But I asked the lady, I always take the opening prayer, and it was just like the Lord just covered me and said, and I want this to extend to y'all, that's why I'm saying it. It's like the Lord just laid on my heart the little song about Jesus loves the little children, all the children of the world, red, yellow, black, or white, they are precious in His sight. And He helped me to take it right on over into Jesus loves the little children of the world. Catholic, Presbyterian, Methodist, I let them know that it didn't matter to me. It didn't matter to me. It didn't matter to God where they were from, because we were all trying. And I have a few that don't know God. So it was like, it was just like the Lord covered me so well into making sure that I set a precedence for Him to help open up their hearts, that someday, I don't know what God's doing. I do know to a degree, but with my business, I do know that, or I feel like that I'm a candle, and that I'm doing my best to shine a godly light. And I wanted to say that to me, that carries over to my family here. You know, that He loves us all. You know, He loves us all. There's nothing in here. It doesn't matter if you make the less money in here or the most money in here. It just, to the Lord, He loves us and He cares about us. And I want y'all to know, Brother Painter, this morning you just really touched my heart to make sure that I work on my love for each and every one of us. And I mean, this day just, it couldn't have been any better for me. I just feel like everything that was shared today, I needed, whether you needed it or not, that's okay. I needed it, and I needed to hear the words, and I just want you people to know that you're my family. This is my home.
Time to say this or not, but I've really enjoyed our services the last for several weeks now, and everything that we've been hearing has really been helping me. And it seems like every service for probably the past month and a half, I'm a very stubborn person, but every service a song comes to my mind. I can't sing the song. It came in my mind again when Sister Thompson was talking. I'll just tell you the words because, like I said, I can't sing it. The first time I heard it was Brother Mark Burks from Dallas, Texas, sang it in a youth meeting years ago. And it's called I Want to Be Like Jesus. And the words are, I want to be like Jesus. Shine my light until He comes. When the world looks at me, what I want them to see is only Jesus. What you see today is not what I want to be. But I won't give up. I'm not giving in. I won't quit until the end. Until I'm like Jesus. And I just felt like I needed to share that.
to be like Jesus, to shine my light until He comes. When the world looks at me, what I want them to see is only Jesus. What you see today is not what I want to be. I won't give up, I'm not giving in. I won't quit until the end. Until I'm like Jesus. I want to be like Jesus. To shine my light until He comes. When the world looks at me, want them to see is only Jesus. What you see today is not what I want to be. I won't give up, I'm not giving in. I won't quit until the end. Until I'm like Jesus. I want to be like Jesus. What you see today is not what I want to be. I won't give up, I'm not giving in. I won't quit until the end. Until I'm like Jesus. I'm not giving in. I won't. What you see today is not what I want to be. I won't give up, I'm not giving in. I won't quit until the end. Until I'm like Jesus.
Watch many people come and go. They've walked away from what they know. I pray they can make it home.
To end on than that right there. That sort of sums it all up right there for us. I want to be like Jesus. Appreciate this day very much. Appreciate getting a chance to be with my brothers and sisters and feel this wonderful spirit and have this opportunity. Let's just lift him up one more time in a word of prayer. Be safe tomorrow. Enjoy your day off if you have it. And let's look forward to seeing each other again on Wednesday and look forward to what God has in store for us. So let's just lift him up, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for this day. Thank you, Lord, for your spirit, Lord. Appreciate you. Dear God, move in our hearts more, Lord. We want to be more like you, dear God. Be that perfect vessel, Lord, that vessel of honor. Dear Jesus, thank you, Lord, so much for blessing us, Lord, making us a part. Jesus, we're for you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Bless you, Lord.